Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome back to In the Pink with me, Natalie Pinkham. It's a new series and it's great to have your company. I can't think of a better person to kickstart the new series with than Jenson Button. He's my first guest and he was in a typically communicative mood, chatting away despite having travelled halfway around the world from his home in America to the Middle East for the first race of the Formula One season. He tells me all about the projects he's up to at the moment and how much fun he's having as a father of two. Here he is on In the Pink, it's Mr. Jenson Button. Well, hello, good morning, Jenson Button. Just to set the scene for anyone listening or indeed watching, we are in fact in the same hotel in different rooms, currently quarantining in Bahrain.
Yes, it's weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
I'm really good, thank you. That was a long journey, and I mean, you have to take the positives from it. It was really quiet. I think I had 45 people on my flight from LA to London, and then I went from London to Dubai to Bahrain. So it's a lot of traveling, but to be fair, it's the most sleep I've had for a long time.
I was gonna say, that is the one benefit when you're a parent. Getting on a long-haul flight, you are guaranteed some kip.
So I know, yeah. So
not too bad.
Well, to be fair, we're pretty lucky. Our two little ones sleep really well. Hendrix will sleep from like 7:30 till 7 in the morning. And Lenny sleeps from 8:30 until 6:30, 7 in the morning. And she's only 3 months old, so we are very lucky.
No, hang on. This is smugness right here. This is going to change. This is not possible. Mine are 4 and 6 and don't sleep that well. What are you putting in their milk?
Hendrix went through a bad spell. I mean, it's up and down, isn't it? But at the moment, it's in a good place. So I wasn't too worried about leaving. You know, leaving the missus with two kids. It's the first time I've been away since I've had Lenny. So, but she'll be fine. Her mum's coming down to help out, which is always nice.
She is some kind of super mum. And I definitely think she has to bring out some kind of postpartum fitness video because she looks incredible. What is her secret? Share it with us.
She trained a lot before she gave birth, so up until so 4 days before, I think it was the last time she did a session. But it's just doing the right stuff. You know, you're not allowed to do any ab work, are you? Because it's not good. It doesn't help with giving birth or whatever. But she's been just training. She eats well. She loves sweet stuff, so that's the only issue. She loves sweet stuff, but she's pretty controlled with it. But you got to live life. You got to have fun as well. So yeah, you got to enjoy yourself.
Talking of living life, how is life in LA? What are the restrictions? I mean, as a general overview, I'm sure you're living the dream, but what's it like at the moment? And what's it like for Hendrix and Lenny to grow up there?
To be fair, I think it's everywhere. It's pretty crazy at the moment in terms of, the restrictions. We're pretty lucky actually because Hendrix does go to like a preschool. He's only 20 months, but we want him to socialize. The issue is that, you know, there's no socializing at all, but so we have to all get checked weekly to take him to a preschool. They don't wear masks at the school. All of the people working there wear masks, but the kids can socialize, which is awesome. It's really good because he went through a period of not seeing any other kids, and it's not very good for the you know, for their upbringing, especially at that age. They're just like sponges, aren't they? So it's been great for him, and you can tell the difference. He's only doing 2 days a week, but still, socializing is awesome. So I don't think it's an issue. You know, we're very lucky that we can also be outside. The UK is a lot more restricted, I think, in what you can do with, you know, with lockdown.
Well, for a start, it's freezing cold. So even if you want to go outside, you don't really enjoy it too much. Like lashing rain, slapping your face. You're like, come on, kids, enjoy every minute. Make the most of this.
Yeah, we're allowed outside. Let's go out. And it's chucking it down with rain. Exactly. Now, I mean, the weather's just hot in LA as well. So I don't know. It just seems just when you're outside, we're very lucky we've got a garden, so we can spend a lot of time outside with kids.
And do you miss the UK?
I do miss the UK. I mean, it was funny because I had to stay airside of the UK, even though I was at the airport for 5 hours. I couldn't actually go into the country as such. But flying in over the UK, and you see how green it is. I mean, it's green because it rains a lot, but you see the beauty of the UK. It is absolutely stunning. And you probably take it for granted when you live there. It's like, I grew up in a place called Frome. When I grew up there, I didn't like it. I wanted to get out. But I go back there now and you realize how stunning it is, the countryside. You know, I'm a country bumpkin. I'm from Somerset, and it's stunning down there. I really, really love it now. And, you know, going to a local pub is just the best thing ever. But back then it was, you just wanted to get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's never cool where you live, although I do feel Hendrix and Lenny growing up in LA is always cool. I mean, kind of how different do you think their childhoods are going to be compared to yours? What are your kind of reflections on growing up in Frome? Three older sisters and a life really from very early age wrapped up in racing.
Yeah, from 7 years old, I was driving a go-kart. But before that, my dad was racing in rallycross, so I'd go and watch him race. And it brings us on to Murray Walker. You know, the late Murray Walker, so sad to hear of his passing. But I have memories back to the 80s of Murray commentating on my dad's rallycross races that far back. So lots of very special memories. And, you know, my sister used to come along and watch as well. And also with my kart races, they would be there watching. But having three older sisters was pretty great, apart from the dressing me up. That probably wasn't so great. And there are pictures as well. Yeah, they're probably black and white pictures back in the day, but there are pictures of me wearing a dress, which I'm not proud of, but I kind of look good in it, so I'll take it.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's some more recent pictures of you wearing dresses too, if you're completely honest. Johnny Herbert definitely got one of them in a gold dress. Anyone that wants to Google that, please do, because he looks sensational. There's something about you ex-racers, you can pull it off.
We got the legs.
There you go.
We've got the legs. I mean, a bit hairy, but we've got the legs. But for our kids growing up in LA, you know, there's obviously a balance. You know, a lot of the people they'll be going to, kids they'll be going to school with, they have to realize that most of LA isn't the real world. I've got a friend actually that his kids are 10, two 10-year-olds and a 13-year-old, and they go to school. And basically their kids come around the house and they're like, oh, you've got a nice small house. And this house is massive. It's like 5,000-6,000 square feet. And they're like, oh, this is nice. It's so cute. And then they're going on private jets to Hawaii on holiday. It's like, guys, you know, this isn't the real world. So, you know, for us, we definitely have to control that. And I do think that when they're a little bit older, we won't be living in LA. We'll be living a little bit outside of it. Maybe Santa Barbara or down the coast in Laguna. Because LA, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of wealth in LA that live, you know, people live very extravagant lives.
Wow. They're very welcome to come round to mine for a reality check anytime they like. can you clear something up for me? Jensen, the name, I have only ever heard it given to babies who have been named after you. I've met two families with babies at Silverstone who'd called them Jensen. Where does it come from? Is it a rallycross competitor of your father's, or is it because of Jensen sports cars?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. My parents both had different stories. They weren't together when they were telling me the stories. But As far as I know, there's a guy that I met called Erling Jensen who used to be a racing driver. So it came from him, and my parents loved Jensen cars. But it's a different spelling than that. So Jensen with an E-N is Danish. But Jensson is Swedish. So my name's actually Swedish and it's a family name. So it's unusual for it to be a first given name, but my parents wanted to be a little bit different. But yeah, I've heard it a few times in LA. There's a lady I'm actually working with on the Radford coach building company, and her son is called Jensen.
But after you, named after you.
Well, she said kind of. I was like, well, was it or not?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the spelling's different as well. It's Jensen, it's E-N. But yeah, it's suddenly even people that don't know who I am, it seems like it's a name that's used more often these days, even in America when they're not, massive fans of F1. So.
You little trendsetter, you. Great. When you actually, I want to talk more about Radford because you are busier than I think you've probably ever been. You seem to be spinning a lot of plates at the moment. Obviously, a very committed and present father. You're working with us at Sky Sports F1. You've launched Radford Returns and an Extreme E Racing. I don't know how you're managing to fit all of this in, but start with Radford Returns. Tell us about it.
Well, Radford back in 1948 was launched, and it's a coach building company. So back in the 40s, 50s, or even earlier than that, in 20s, 30s, if you went to buy a Rolls Royce, for example, you didn't buy a whole car. You bought a chassis, so the underpinnings of a car, and an engine. And they would send you to certain coach builders, which could be Hooper, for example. And they would build you a car, basically, that would fit onto the chassis. And Radford they worked with Rolls-Royce, they worked with Bentley, they worked with Aston Martin. They did the Aston Martin DB5 shooting brake, which is a very cool-looking car. They also did Minis. They're very famous for their Minis. So all of the Beatles owned a Radford Mini. Which is pretty cool. Enzo Ferrari owned a Radford Mini. So that's pretty cool.
Really?
Cool. They took Minis and they changed them. So for example, someone of the Beatles wanted a hatchback, and hatchbacks didn't exist back then. So they designed this hatchback. So it was a lift up rear end on a Mini, so they could get all of their equipment in, their music equipment in, and things like that. And actually, I think,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jerry Halliwell owns that Mini now. She bought it for 120 grand a few years ago. 120 grand for an old Mini. Wow. Because it's a Radford Mini, and it's a one-off. It's a coach-built car. So they were very big then, and then it sort of petered out. Manufacturers were building cars from ground up. But we thought it was a fantastic idea to bring it back. People are loving limited edition cars right now. And so many manufacturers are making these limited edition cars, but they're not really limited. It's 500,000 cars, and then they bring another limited edition out the next year of the same car but slightly different. So we want to do something very different to that. So it's very unique. Each car will be unique, the same underpinning. So we're making the first car will have, it'll only be double digits, so minimum, quite a low production car, But basically, you will be able to have what you want. You know, you can run it. You can have a different engine if you want, a different transmission. You could change the arches if you want to do it. It's not just going to be, you can have a different color. You can have a piece of carbon fiber that's not painted and that costs you 10 grand more, or things like that, or a different leather interior. It's going to be completely bespoke, which is really exciting. So I am going to be the driver. So you have a designer, a builder, and I'm the driver. So you've got Mark Stubbs is the designer, who is fantastic. And you've got Ant Anstead, who is like the builder, if you like. And then I'm the driver. So I'm doing all the setup work with the car, all the design work on track and on the road. So really looking forward to it. We've just actually got our racetrack test track, the Radford School of Driving. So really, really excited about that. And I'll be spending a lot of time there developing these cars. So yeah, this was the dream really when I was in F1, something to look forward to in the future that I can be a part of and develop into something very special.
That is so cool. And actually, there is a theory that when you do miss home, when you're living abroad, you gravitate towards other Brits because it kind of gives you a sense of belonging. And you are all British. You've somehow found each other, which is lovely.
Yeah, we're all sort of 41, 42. Ant likes to say we're all the same age, but they're both older than me. They're both a year older. But yeah, we've both done our things previously. And Ant's very famous for Wheeler Dealers and other car shows. And Mark Stubbs has worked at Bugatti, along with many other different car manufacturers in the UK and also in the States. We're all British and we all love British things, especially British cars. So they will be partly built in the UK, partly built in California. So we're bringing them together. And the great thing is with technology we have these days, you know, with 3D printing, whether it's a part or a tooling for a part, we can make things very quickly. You know, in the 50s, there'd be panel beating certain parts if you wanted to change something with a car. It'd take months. Now we can do it in days, you know, even hours. So, yeah, really exciting. And I can't wait to announce which OEM we're actually working with, the initial one, because we've already signed two OEMs. And the first one is very, very exciting.
That is so cool. What a creative process as well to be part of. How wonderful. Now, tell us about the Extreme E racing team and why you're so passionate about getting involved with that.
Yeah, well, Extreme E. First of all, I've always loved off-road racing. My dad used to race in rallycross back in, as I said, the 70s and 80s. And I've had a taste of rallycross before. Loved it. But I tried to get involved with the team, but the price of running a team went through the roof because all the manufacturers got involved. It was 10, 12, 15 million euros. And, you know, I couldn't fund a team or find sponsorship for that. It was growing too fast. So that was put on the back burner. And then Extreme E came around and I saw the great opportunity of having a team, not just because I love racing, but because what it really stood for. You know, they're bringing so much awareness of global warming. The areas that we race, five places around the world have been severely hit with global warming. And they're places that I never would have dreamt of going to. So one, I'm very lucky. I feel very lucky to be able to go to those places around this world I never would have dreamt of visiting. One being Greenland, which I'm very excited about. But we can bring awareness to those areas have been hit so hard with global warming. Excitingly also, there's going to be scientists on the ship. Extremely, all of the cars travel on one ship and we all stay on that ship. So there'll be scientists on the ship. So they'll be able to study the areas that we're going to. So it's a much cheaper way for them to be able to study the areas. Very cost effective. And it's bringing a lot of new technologies. You know, people are really getting behind Extreme E, electric vehicles, but also the way that they're going to be charging them. Is really exciting because people go, electric vehicles, well, how are you going to charge it? You know, you're going to charge it with a diesel generator, aren't you? So, no, we're not. You know, it's going to be charged with a hydrogen generator, which just emits water. So that's really exciting technology and something that will definitely be used in cars of the future. We're all talking about electric cars, which obviously is the future, but that technology has been around for quite a while. But hydrogen is really exciting, but it's just being able to move on with hydrogen and use it as a technology, it's not the easiest.
So Greenland's one. What are the other four places?
Saudi's first race is actually after the first race, after Bahrain. It's the weekend after, so I'm traveling straight there and racing, which should be pretty cool. And then we head to Senegal, and then we're Greenland, and then we have Brazil, and then we have Argentina. So, I mean, they're the worst places to actually get to. Really, really difficult, but you know, once you arrive, they're all fantastic locations. Really, really exciting.
Your recent trip from LA over to here is going to pale into insignificance compared to this. How long is it going to take you to get on this boat? And does Brittany, is she cool about this? Because this sounds like a long time away from home.
Yeah, I mean, I arrive Thursday and I leave Sunday, most of the races.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, so I'm a team owner. I'm the team principal. And I'm the driver, which is weird. So if I mess up on track, or I say on track, in the dirt, you know, I've got no one shouting at me apart from myself, which would always be the case anyway. I'm my own worst enemy. But now I'm really, really excited. You know, it's great because we've got, you know, Nico Rosberg has a team. Lewis Hamilton has a team. It brings a lot of eyes to the category. And I'm really excited. You know, there's some fantastic drivers involved from the world of rallycross, Dakar, off-roading in America. I mean, they've really brought together the best drivers in off-roading. And then there's me, who has no idea what I'm doing.
Come on.
You know, I've driven on circuits my whole life, and you put me on dirt and it's another world. So yeah, we'll see how the first race goes. I just want to keep it on its wheels for the first race and not tip it on its lid. That's the aim. But also, as you know, it's boys and girls racing, and it's not like Formula W, which has its place, but I love women racing with men, which is what it should be. There's no reason why a woman can't race with a man. It's not physically tough either. And to be fair, I couldn't run the 100 meters like an amateur 100 meter female runner. But you have in every team, you have a boy and a girl. So during the race, you do, for example, you do one lap, which is 10 kilometers. You stop in the pits and you do a driver change, and the other driver goes out and does 10 kilometers. You finish the race, and then hopefully you stay on the top of the podium together. So you have a boy and a girl, and you can either choose the boy to start first or the girl to start first. So it's not like boys go first and then the girls, or girls go first, then the boys. So it really mixes it up, and it brings awareness to how much female talent there is, especially in off-roading. And I must admit, I had no idea. I had no idea how much talent there is, female talent there is in off-roading. The only one I knew was Sarah Price, and that's because I've raced against her in the States in off-roading. But there are so many good drivers out there. We did a test in Wales a couple of months back to find my partner for the series. And three girls came, and every single one of them did an amazing job. And to see the car control was fantastic. And I think the reason why we went for the driver that we did, which is Michaela Kudelinski. I really hope I pronounced the name right.
I was going to say, you said it quickly. So even if you didn't, you know, confident and fast.
I remember because we did the test, and I said, Michaela, can you please just tell me how to pronounce your name correctly? And she told me, I was like, sorry, what? And it's Michaela, Michaela Kudelinski, I think. Anyway. She was amazing, not just because of what she could do with the car. I mean, she had the proper, she's Scandinavian, she had the proper Scandinavian flick. But she came in, I said, why don't you just try driving a little different? Try, you know, not being so aggressive. It looks really cool, but I don't know if it's quicker or not. She went out and she completely changed her style within seconds. And I was like, wow, I can't do that. And I remember the night before, you know, she's like, right, I've got to go to bed early. I've got to go to bed early. I've got to be focused for tomorrow. I was like, geez, this stuff's serious. You're good. And I was just so relaxed with it and just looking forward to having fun. But she was proper serious. So it was really good to see. And I can't wait to work with her and go up against our competition, which is pretty insane.
I love everything about this. I mean, it just ticks so many boxes, doesn't it? But it's exciting and it's pushing the boundaries. That's very cool. Right, so that's the first race is in Saudi next weekend.
Yes.
First race for Formula One this weekend. So to the here and now and to the Sky F1 team, of which you are a very valuable and valued member. tell us about moving into broadcasting and how you're finding it. Because, you know, from the outside looking in, everyone would say, well, you know, he's a natural. He's just so good on camera. But it's a very different skill set to being interviewed and having a presence and charisma on camera, isn't it? And is it a process that you're enjoying?
You are correct. It's totally different. When you're being interviewed, you're asked a question and you answer it because you know how to answer it. You know, you're talking about racing, you're talking about what you love and what you're very passionate about. And when you're on the other side, it's tough. I get nervous. You know, when I walk into the paddock and I have to think of questions to ask drivers and team principals, I get nervous because, you know, I think asking the correct question is a lot more difficult than answering it. Coming up with something that actually is meaningful, and the person you're interviewing actually goes, a proper question. It's not easy, but I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm not going to big you up too much, but, you know, like working with you is great because you make everyone feel very comfortable. And there's so much talent, you know, within Sky Sports F1 that it makes you feel a lot more relaxed. I do a lot of stuff with Lazenby, and we all know how fantastic he is. He just turns it on. And when you see him in the office, it's like, he's not going to be ready. He hasn't even got his shirt on. He's not even dressed. And his hair's like all over the place. How is he? No, this is not today. This is the day where he's not going to be there on screen live. But he just turns it on and he's there.
I know.
And he knows exactly what to say. And what people don't realize is that we have so much going on in our ears, which is the biggest hurdle. Trying to you know, silence certain things that are coming into one of your ears and talk at the same time. It's really, really difficult. Then you've got the countdown. You're worried you're not going to get the question in, so you end up rushing it and it comes out like blah, 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 blah. So it's not easy, but it's a really fun process. And it's definitely a talent and something that I'm still getting used to, but loving it. I'm really, really enjoying it. And for me, doing the interviews with the drivers is always fun, because I think they're very open, because I've been through it all. You know, I've been through the good times, the bad times. I know exactly what they're feeling. And, you know, they're not going to, I can catch them out with certain things and they'll just shake their head at me and smile because they know I've been a bit cheeky. But it's been really, really enjoyable. And I look forward to this season.
That is so true, because they can't hide anywhere from you with the question. You ever feel, I'm so tempted to ask the question that I know that he knows I can ask and I know I can ask, but I shouldn't really ask? Do you ever stop yourself because you've got a bit of an inside line? You've got to be careful, haven't you? You've got to treat relationships, you know, maintain trust and respect and not cross a line, because, you know, they don't want, I think quite a few drivers think that we're there to trip them up. Far from it. I definitely never want to be that person to sort of try and catch anyone out. I just want to act as a conduit for the fans and just, you know, relay a message, if you like, to the fans. But you know so much more than I do. So, you know, knowledge is power to an extent, but equally, you probably do have to stop yourself on occasions.
Well, I think it's probably the opposite, to be fair, because I know what the drivers put into this. I know the winter training. I know how much effort and focus goes into this. And yeah, I mean, I want to ask them the questions that get the good answers and the exciting answers. And we try to do that every interview. But there are certain things that I do cringe a little bit, because I'm like, I know how hard this guy's worked and I'm going to put it down. You know, he hasn't done a good enough job, but I have to ask the question because the viewers want to hear it. But it is tough, because I know what that guy's going through in his head. He's hurting if he's been outqualified by his teammate. You know, when you interview Albon, for example, last year, it's really difficult, because you know he's really hurting inside, and he's not happy with his results. And you hit him really hard with the questions that are going to make him feel even worse. But it's got to be done. And you, as a driver, you learn to become tougher, more thick-skinned. And to be fair with us, I think there's always a good relationship with the drivers. I think with the, you know, the written press, it's very different. You know, they're always trying to catch you out a little bit, trying to get a headline, trying to get a story. And I many times in my career, I just shut down because I didn't want to answer the questions. And then you end up just, you're like a robot, you know, there's no emotion. And it's the complete opposite of what they're trying to achieve, the journalist. And I think that happens to a lot of drivers. So there's definitely a balance. I try and keep it upbeat. I try and, if I'm going to ask a difficult question, I always end it with a positive, as you do as well. So it's, you know, there's a definite balance. You don't want to piss them off too much.
This is true. Well, listen, thank you for being honest and open today. It's been so lovely to chat to you. I hope you get your test result back soon so that we can get to the paddock. Yes. I keep checking my Bahrain app to see. I tell you what, even though you know you haven't been exposed to COVID, and even though you know you had a test like yesterday, you're still scrolling up and it says pending, pending, pending. It's bloody nerve-wracking, isn't it? You're like, what if I just caught it off a door handle or something and I can't go to the race and I'm here now in Bahrain and that's it, I'm stuck.
I know, yeah, it's a funny one. And yeah, traveling is pretty easy, I must say, because there's no one flying. But the amount of forms that you have to fill in, it's like days and days of filling in forms. And then you get here and it's like, oh, they didn't actually want many of them.
Yeah, they didn't.
I haven't filled in any forms.
I know. But you know what? We're not going to get any sympathy from any listeners because anyone just... No. Everyone just wants to get out their front door, let alone to another country.
Well, I do hope that the British Grand Prix this year, we have spectators. And if we do, wow, it's going to be an event. It is going to be the best festival ever. Oh, so I'm really excited for that.
You've given me goosebumps. Jensen, so thanks so much for your time. And I will see you, hopefully, in the TV compound a bit later today. But for now, bye-bye.
Cheers, Pinks.
Thank you for your time, Jensen. It's always great to chat. And he is spinning a few plates at the moment, but no one would bet against him doing a brilliant job at every single thing he turns his hand to. And it's great to have him as part of the Sky F1 team and a permanent fixture in the paddock in his role as an advisor to Williams. We'll talk more on that later in the weekend. Thank you for your company. Delighted to say that Bose are giving away loads of great gear throughout this series as well. So if you want to get your hands on some Bose headphones, all you need to do is tag a couple of mates into my Instagram feed and tell me who you've liked listening to on In The Pink and why. And we will pick a winner at random and send you some headphones. Until next week. Oh, by the way, we've got some great guests on the way. I know I always say it, but I've already recorded a few of them and they'll be winging their way to you very soon. But for now, thank you, Jensen, and thank you for listening. I'll see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.